we have now wrapped up the 2023 season for the Taking Flight podcast. I hope that you guys all had a great Christmas, and I hope that you guys all had a great year, and definitely looking forward to see what is in store for the year of 2024. John will not be joining me today. This is a wrap-up episode, so this will include episodes throughout the year of 2023, so that's why this podcast is quite long. And forgive me for some of the bad audio. I did not have the mic when I recorded most of the episodes. And to conclude the episode for 2023, this is the very last episode, we have included the top podcast episode that has had the most listens for the year 2023, and that goes to the Delta Airlines safety video. All rights are reserved by Delta. Delta Airlines owns the video. It's an audio format. But anyways, just want to thank you guys for listening and your continued support of Taking Flight. We are close to 230 episodes, and now that I have a new co-host, well, I guess it's not new. I've never had a co-host before, so it's really exciting to be able to have somebody who shares the same enthusiasm and who can, you know, help me share news and make it less boring. The podcast has definitely improved and definitely needs some improvement. And we want to just thank you for listening. You can reach out at taking_flight_podcast on Instagram. Send us a message. Let us know how we can improve. And we look forward to hearing from you. And without any further ado, let's get started with the wrap up. So EVA Air has gotten a new Boeing 787-10 with the Star Alliance livery. On May 6th, a brand new Boeing 787-10 departed Boeing facilities in Charleston and made its way to Taipei, Taiwan, as EVA Air's 8th 787-10 Dreamliner. The aircraft will look drastically different from all of the others Dreamliners flying from a Taiwanese carrier, for the Taiwanese carrier, as it sports a special Star Alliance livery. EVA Air's Boeing 787-10 is an airframe registered Bravo-17812 with manufacturer's serial number MSN63519 and line number 1142. The aircraft departed Charleston on May 6th at 9:37 local time and headed in northwest direction towards EVA Air's main base at Taipei Taiwan International Airport. Designated as flight Bravo Romeo 787, the ferry service saw the aircraft land at 13:45 local time on May 7th. The total duration of this flight was 16 hours and 8 minutes. As per data from aviation flights, Bravo-17812 saw a total of 4 test flights, accumulating nearly 7 hours of test flights flight time in the process. The jet first spotted on its special delivery on October 15th of 2022 and had its first test flight on April 21st of 2023. According to Planespotters.net, the addition of the latest aircraft means that EVA Air has a total of 12 787s with 86 aircraft in total. If the aircraft had taken the most direct routing, the distance covered would have been approximately 7,130 nautical miles, 13,206 kilometers, as noted in the reporting of EVA Air 787-10. The length delivery flight from Charleston to Taipei is outside the 787-10's published maximum range at 6,330 nautical miles. However, this very flight would have been made possible by an absence of passengers and cargo. Comparing the delivery flight paths of this latest 787-10 to the flight before it, it's interesting to see that this flight crossed much more Canada while also overflying Alaska.
the EVA Air 787-10 delivery flight that preceded it crossed much more of the Pacific Ocean. On April 13th through 14th flight of Bravo-17811 was much more indirect, as can be seen by the flight times. While the May 6th to 7th delivery flight of Bravo-17812 took a little over 16 hours, and delivery of Bravo-17811 had a duration of 17 hours and 22 minutes. So this special livery is the airline's third Star Alliance livery, as it joins the Airbus A321-200 registered Bravo-16206 and the Boeing 777-300ER registered Bravo-16715. As mentioned in a special feature piece on the airline's Alliance liveries, November 2002 saw Star Alliance implement an Alliance-wide standard livery. In a media statement, the organization stated that it had selected Korean Air Asiana Airlines to become the first Korean carrier Asiana Airlines to become the first airline to showcase an airplane with the new Star Alliance promotional aircraft livery. While the One World Alliance standard livery allows aircraft to keep the aircraft tail in the airline's own color, Star Alliance and SkyTeam Alliance liveries opt to have the tail of the aircraft display the Alliance logo. So that is really exciting, really cool. I'm hoping to see this aircraft fly to Seattle soon as we get the 77-10 and the 78 from Taipei with EVA Air. This has been episode 192. I want to thank you for listening. Till next time, fly. Alaska Airlines is planning on to be an all-Boeing carrier by October. The end is near for the A321neo and Alaska Airlines service. Alaska Airlines, based out of Seattle, Washington, has been working towards a single fleet for its mainline and regional partners, Horizon Air and SkyWest operations. The final step for Alaska Airlines mainline operations to go single fleet will be the divestment of its Airbus A321neos. The A321neo is the second generation of the Airbus A321. The second generation of A321s came from a new engine option, hence the term neo, and other improvements like sharklets. The new engine options would be the CFM International's LEAP 1A and Pratt and Whitney Pure Power JM generator turbofans. For Virgin America's order of the A321neos that became Alaska Airlines equipment to operate, the A321neo engines were the CFM International LEAP 1A33 turbofans, offering 35,000 pounds of thrust per jet engine. The A321neo has a passenger capacity of 244 in single-class configuration, or for Alaska Airlines, according to seatmaps.com. I'll put that in the description. I'm going to copy that right now. A three-class configuration of 190 passengers, slightly more than a 737 MAX 9, than a 737 MAX 9s or 737-900ER. ER's capabilities of 178 passengers. The A321neo can go 7,400 kilometers or 4,598 miles before refueling. How did Alaska Airlines get the A320 family aircraft? How did an airline based in Seattle, also home to Boeing, end up flying Airbus aircraft? The simple answer is by acquisition, or by Alaska Airlines buying Virgin America. The merger resulted in Alaska Airlines absorbing all of Virgin America's Airbuses, A319s, A320s, and A321s. According to CHAviation.com's database, the small Airbus A319s were phased out between 2020 and 2023, with intentions to be scrapped. Initially, the 10 A319-100s were delivered to Virgin America between 2006 and 2008. The Airbus A320s, like November 836 Victor Alpha, above and below, although being called uneconomic relative to others by now CEO Ben Mansui. I'm sorry, I butchered your last name. I deeply apologize. Enjoyed a long departure from Alaska's airlines starting in November 2019, culminating in March of 2023. At least some of the A321-200s are now flying for the US's Allegiant Air, South Korea's Aero-K, and Indonesia's Pelita Air, while others are in maintenance and stored as they, according to CH Aviation's database, retain $18.2 million in value apiece. During the long departure, an air leasing deal was reached in 2020 to swap out the 10 A320s with 13 737 MAX 9 jets. The A320s were delivered to Virgin America between 2006 and 2016. 2016, when Virgin America was acquired by Alaska Airlines. It's worth noting that Virgin America was the world's first A321neo operator. The plan back in Virgin America's day was to acquire 10 A321neos at first, with a later option for 30. Still, after Alaska Airlines' acquisition, Alaska Airlines management canceled the option without acquiring a penalty. The 10 A321neos taken on do have 10-year lease agreements, causing headaches for Alaska Airlines management. In fact, according to the first quarter 2023 Alaska Airlines earnings and call transcript by Insider Money Transcripts, Shane Tackett, the airline's executive vice president of finance, announced not just September 2023 will be the final month we operate the Airbus fleet, but also Alaska Airlines accepting $300 to $350 million in special fleet transition charges. Some of those charges, including finishing cross-training Airbus A321neo pilots for the Boeing 737 in the last quarter of 2023. Below is an Arthur's photo. Well, there's no photo here. I'm sorry. The A321neo cockpit and note the side stick that is not used with the Boeing 737s. So the Boeing 737s do not have a side stick. So if you look at pictures of a Boeing cockpit, they just have a regular yoke. And then the Airbus has a side stick. Alaska Airlines' senior vice president of fleet finance and alliances said, "The last hurdle we've got to get over is to come up with an A321 exit plan. And we are getting close. Late stage discussions with a bunch of parties, lessors, financial firms, other airlines, and our objectives is to paper the transaction for the 10 aircraft by the end of the second quarter. Considering the work to get Alaska Airlines' mainline fleet to a single fleet operation again started upon acquiring Virgin America, this is quite an accomplishment. One of the last Alaska Airlines A321neos qualified pilots, Jody Ruger, the young airshow pilot, did get an A320 rating that covers the A321neo in March. Ruger is now qualified in the de Havilland of Canada-8 family, the 737 family, and now the A320 family. Alaska Airlines. The aircraft has clean leather seats that are too eerily like the Boeing 737. Perhaps that's because Alaska Airlines has had Recaro seats installed into its Airbuses and Boeing 737's attempt to create a modern, unified in-flight experience. As you can, then there's no photos. Since 2019, 100% of Alaska Airlines' fleet has been fitted with Recaro seating, which also extend to the economy cabin. Ultimately, only aviation enthusiasts would notice or care if they were flying with Alaska Airlines on an Airbus A320 or Boeing 737 family, and I deeply care. I even care if I'm on a 737-800 or a 900. I prefer to be on a 900ER or a MAX, and I prefer, especially, I mean, it's okay to be on the E175, but I like to be on a Boeing. Like, I love the 900ER. It's my favorite NG aircraft. NG stands for next generation, and then, of course, you have the MAX, which is a whole different story. Airlines still has trained kind, but when necessary, firm professionals working on each flight. I would say that the A321neo and the A320 seem to have their wings shake more in turbulence. I agree. Then the 737 family. I realize that the Boeing's way more, like, it feels more stable, and it's a smoother flight, than the Airbus. And the seat back in the flight entertainment is missed, even though the functionalities are now handled via the aircraft's Wi-Fi to stream via your mobile device browser. As the end is coming for the A320s this September, the long-term goal of Alaska Airlines is to go truly single fleet in near early this year. Earlier this year, Alaska Airlines retired from the regional subsidiary Horizon Air, the Bombardier Q400, now the de Havilland of Canada -8400, on a flight covered by Simple Flying. And I'll put a link in the description, possibly. Now the last of the Airbuses of the mainland is near. Alaska Airlines will be able to run a more efficient operation with the thinner training pipeline, more commonality with spare parts and other airframes, frame demands, and the ability to negotiate in bulk. So, as you guys will probably remember, if you've been listening the whole entire time, that they got Alaska Airlines, which is my favorite airline, is based at my home airport, Seattle-Tacoma International. You remember that they retired the last A320 in the last couple weeks of January of this year, 2023. And then they got, of course, rid of the Q400s, as we read. I just want to give, put this out there. Over half of you listen to this podcast via Apple Podcasts. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please do leave a 5-star rating or any rating that you want. And please leave a review. That will help me know where I can fix my imperfections in this podcast. Anyways, this has been episode 182. I want to thank you for listening. Till next time, fly safe. Following the flagship, where Virgin Atlantic deploys its Airbus A350-1000s. The largest aircraft type in the Virgin Atlantic fleet serves 6 destinations out of 2 cities in the UK. Virgin Atlantic has a relatively simple fleet consisting of 3 aircraft types, 2 variants of the Airbus A330, the Boeing 787, and the Airbus A350. While the Airbus A330-900 is the airline's newest variant, the A350-1000 is the largest type in the fleet, with the ability to accommodate 335 passengers across 3 classes. In this article, we will examine where the airline's flagship is flying in May of 2023. 2 origins, 6 destinations. With London Heathrow being the main hub for Virgin Atlantic, the majority of the carrier's A350 services originate at this point. At present, there are 6 destinations that utilize the Airbus A350-1000. Delhi, Mumbai, Lagos, New York, Orlando, and San Francisco. The longest of these service is the 5,367-mile flight to San Francisco, designated flight Victor Sierra 41-42. Flights to San Francisco have an average duration of 10 hours, 11 minutes, while returning to London sees an average duration of 9 hours and 46 minutes. London Heathrow isn't the airline's only base, indeed. The carrier operates a few services out of Manchester as well, namely New York, JFK, and Orlando, while the A330-300 is tasked with Manchester, New York services. The A350-1000 is used for flights between Manchester and Orlando. This service operates once daily as Victor Sierra 73-74 or /74. If you're a Virgin Atlantic customer and dead set on stepping on board one of these carriers A350s, it's important to know that some destinations and frequencies don't always utilize the type. New York JFK is one of these destinations, while VS3/4 from London currently sees the consistent A350 service. The airline's other London New York frequencies deserve more careful planning. Victor Sierra 9/10 and Victor Sierra 25/26 and Victor Sierra 153/154 don't appear to feature the type at all. while Victor Sierra 45-46/46 and Victor Sierra 137/138 see the jet on same days. In other days, these routes use the A330 or the 787 instead. While the Virgin Atlantic offers at least one daily service from London Heathrow to Orlando, it also operates a second daily service for 4 days out per week. It is the second less frequent service that includes the Airbus A330-300. Virgin Atlantic's 9 Airbus A350-1000s are configured with three classes, business, upper class, premium, and economy. There are 44 seats in business class, 56 in premium, and another 235 in economy, making for a total of 335 seats. The airline's A350s also feature a social space on board as well. On 7 A350 aircraft, this is known as the loft, while the booth is installed on the two other A350s. The average age of this fleet is approximately 3.5 years, with the oldest of these being 6.3 years and the newest being 1.2 years. The carrier has 5 more A350-1000s yet to be delivered. So, that is, you know, it's cool. So, I didn't realize that they only had, like, not that many A350-1000s. For some reason, I thought they had quite a bit more. It must be the 787 that they have the most of, which is interesting that the A350-1000 is their flagship aircraft. Anyways, that's just, I guess, how it works and how they're doing it. Anyways, this has been episode 181. Till next time, fly safe, and thank you for listening. So when China Airlines and EVA Air are added up, there are normally 5 to 6 daily Taipei Los Angeles flights, but 8 on November 5th. Taiwan's Starlux begins service to Los Angeles on Wednesday, April 26th, just a few days from the date of this article. It will be the carrier's first long-haul route on one of three airlines between Taipei and Los Angeles, and it will join San Francisco as Taiwan's only long-haul market to have a trio of non-stop operators. With an initial 5 weekly services, later daily Starlux lifts off to Los Angeles on April 26th. It will use the 306-seat A350-900s, of which it presently has 3. Each has the same configuration. There are 4 first class suites, 26 seats in business, 36 in premium economy, and 240 in economy, positioning itself as a luxury yet affordable carrier, an apparent contradiction, in terms. First and business passengers will enjoy the extra privacy afforded by sliding doors, fully flat seats, and zero G mode that supposedly reduces fatigue. This schedule is as follows, with all times local, the first The first Asia-bound service is on April 27th. Taipei to Los Angeles is 14:10-11, same day arrival, 11 hours, 50 minutes, block time, first day only. Taipei to Los Angeles, they'll leave at 23:40 and arrive at 22:30, same day arrival, and 11 hours, 50 minutes, the other days. Los Angeles to Taipei, they'll leave at 0:50 minutes and arrive at 5:40 plus 1 hour. You gain an hour, I guess, or something like that. 13 hours, 50 minutes. Starlux joins China Airlines and EVA Air on the 99-mile link to Los Angeles. Despite more Taiwanese and those of the heritage living in Greater Los Angeles, booking data shows that it was Taiwan's second most popular point-to-point market last year as far as San Francisco. So it's going to be super cool to see them launching service to Los Angeles. and I look forward to seeing what else will happen. Well, this has been episode 174. Thanks for listening. So the other day, there was an incident with the Southwest Airlines captain. An off-duty pilot stepped in to assist with radio communications when the captain of the flight, a Southwest flight, was taken ill after departure from Las Vegas. It is no secret that the airline industry is a cutthroat competitive business. However, all rivalries are naturally set aside, recording the safety of crew and passengers. On Wednesday, an off-duty pilot from another airline stepped in to land the plane after a Southwest Airlines flight deck crew member suffered a medical emergency in flight. Stomach pains followed by fainting. Southwest Airlines Flight 6013 took off from Harry Reid International Airport in Las Vegas, Nevada at 6:44 in the morning, heading for Columbus, Ohio, for what is usually an uneventful flight of approximately 3 hours and 20 minutes. Shortly after departure, one of the pilots operating the Boeing 737-700 was taken ill and required medical attention. As reported by NBC News, communication over the radio stated that the captain began feeling acute pain in the stomach and fainted or became incapacitated shortly after that. He reportedly came back about 1 minute later and was removed from the flight deck and looked after by flight attendants at the back of the aircraft. However, the call was made that he was in immediate need of an ambulance, as is customary during emergencies where health is involved. The cabin crew asked if any medical personnel were on the flight and then announced they would need to return to Las Vegas. Passengers reported that the mood remained calm and without any trace of panic. The off-duty pilot assisted with comms. As it happens, an off-duty pilot employed by another airline, the airline has not been named. We will make sure to update this article. The article is going to be updated, I guess. It has not been named. They reportedly entered the flight deck and assisted with radio communication while the remaining Southwest pilot operated the aircraft. The plane landed back at Las Vegas at about 7:50 and was met by medical emergency services. Another flight crew took over and the plane took off again for Ohio at 11:02. Southwest shared the following statement regarding the pilot who stepped in to make sure the emergency landing was smoothly as possible. We greatly appreciate their support and assistance. Furthermore, the airline added, we commended the crew for their professionalism and appreciate our customers' patience and understanding regarding the situation. Fit to fly. Pilots undergo medical examination at regular intervals. Those under the age of 40 do so on an annual basis, whereas those age 40 and above need to get a medical checkup every 6 months. In the U.S., these are done by doctors certified to perform the checks by the Federal Aviation Administration. This is done to assess the pilot's ability to operate the aircraft under both routine and emergency circumstances, as well as the risks of incapacitation for the duration of the validity of the medical certificate. English is not for me today. According to research from 2012, the risk of one pilot becoming incapacitated during a flight is 0.25%. I will have a link in the description so you can watch the news broadcast of that flight. Thank you for listening. This has been episode 169. Till next time, fly safe.
Welcome aboard, and thank you for flying with Delta. The health and safety of our customers and crew is our number one priority and the shared responsibility of everyone on board. So before we depart, please pay attention to this important safety message.
Be sure that all carry-on items are securely stowed in an overhead bin and place smaller items completely under the seat in front of you. Please keep the aisles, exits, and bulkhead areas clear. If you lose an electronic device in your seat, please do not adjust your seat and ask a crew member for assistance.
As we leave the gate, make sure your seatbelt is fastened. To fasten, insert the metal tip into the buckle and adjust the strap so it's low and tight across your lap. To release the belt, just lift the top of the buckle. If your seat has a shoulder harness, secure it by attaching the metal tip to the fitting on the belt. To release, just push the metal tip down. Please remain seated with your seatbelt securely fastened anytime the seatbelt sign is on. Even if the sign is off, please keep your seatbelt fastened whenever you're seated in case of sudden rough air. In the event of rough air, the crew might also need to buckle up for safety. We appreciate your understanding if our service is interrupted.
Federal regulations require all passengers to comply with crew members' instructions, in addition to posted placards and lighted information signs located throughout the cabin.
Smoking, vaping, the use of e-cigarettes, or any smokeless product, including chewing tobacco, is not allowed on any Delta flight. Federal law prohibits tampering with, disabling, or destroying restroom smoke detectors. There are 8 exits on this plane, 8 doors, 4 on each side. Each door has a detachable slide that can be used as a raft. In the event of an evacuation, leave all carry-on items behind.
All exits are clearly marked with a green exit symbol. Please take a moment to find the exits closest to you, and remember, they might be behind you. If there's a loss of power, lights will illuminate the aisle to guide you to an exit.
It's unlikely, but if cabin pressure changes, oxygen masks will drop from the panels above your seat and inside the lavatories. If this happens, reach up and pull the mask or streamer down to start the flow of oxygen. Remove any face covering and place the mask over your nose and mouth, slip the elastic strap over your head, and adjust the mask if necessary. Breathe normally and note that oxygen is flowing, so don't worry if the bag doesn't inflate. Be sure to adjust your own mask before helping others.
A water evacuation is also unlikely, but just in case, life vests are in a compartment beneath or adjacent to your seat. To use, remove the vest from its container by pulling on the tab and then opening the pouch. Slip the vest over your head. Wrap the strap around your waist, attach it to the buckle in front, then adjust securely around your waist. As you leave the plane, inflate the vest by pulling down on the red tab at the bottom of the vest, or manually inflate it by blowing into the tube at shoulder level. A water-activated light is attached to each vest.
For children who weigh less than 35 pounds, place the vest around the infant's waist and secure the strap between the legs. Refer to your safety card for more information. Additional life vests for in-lap children are located in marked compartments at the front and rear of the plane. We'll distribute these vests if necessary.
Now, before we take off, bring your seat to its upright position and stow your tray table and footrest. Be sure your seatbelt is fastened low and tight across your lap. Your carry-on items are secured and aisle armrests are at resting position. If you have a suite door, ensure it is open. There is a placard on the inside of the suite door explaining how to open it in case of an emergency.
Finally, please take a moment to review the safety information card, which is in your seat pocket. As we come through the cabin for our final safety check, please let us know if you have any questions.
Now, as we get ready for takeoff, please settle in and have a wonderful flight. Thank you for flying with Delta.
It has been some time since I have put out an episode here on Taking Flight, and my apologies to you guys, as I have been lacking in time to even produce an episode. I can't even find my mic right now, so that's another reason, and right now I'm recording off my phone, but as soon as I can find my mic, I will be putting out an episode for you guys, and this little bit will be deleted from the podcast, but just want to let you guys know that the podcast is still happening, and I hope you guys have all had a great new year, and we'll see you on the next one.